What do you say? Tomorrow, you and I hit the arcade. First game's on me.
Can we play doubles? On the same team?
We're always on the same team.
Good evening. Our lead story, Kevin Flynn, was reported missing. The visionary icon and Encom CEO skyrocketed to the top of the tech industry. He was last seen at home with his son, Sam, leaving behind an empire and a now orphan little boy.
Sam, I was paged last night. Paige came from your dad's office at the arcade.
Alan, you're acting like I'm gonna find him sitting there working.
Where am I?
Your father was the creator.
He never thought he'd see you again.
Dad.
Sam. Long time. You have no idea.
The grid. A place of infinite possibility.
It's incredible.
More beautiful than I ever dreamed. And more dangerous than I ever imagined.
What happened?
My creation turned against me.
Kevin Flynn! Where are you now?
People, welcome to the most action-packed podcast on the planet, the 75th anniversary of Batman with Batman. Oh, it's the wrong week. Rewind. Welcome to Throwback Tuesday, episode 76. I am one of your throwback hosts, the phenomenal one.
This is Z.
And I can't believe I forgot that last week, man. We did episode 75 with Batman Forever and didn't bring up the 75th anniversary of this year of Batman.
And when I picked Batman Robin, I didn't put two and two together either.
I can't believe that just got missed. That's like a whole other show in its own right there. Like, you know, 75 years worth of Batman didn't even get brought up, man. Oh, that sucks. Oh, well.
Hey, it's kind of eerie how that happened.
Yeah.
But it's fucking awesome, though.
You know what happened? Our anger got the best of us with that shitty movie. That's what it was.
Yeah, we completely blanked on every Batman movie.
I'm not gonna lie, I did. I blanked on every... That movie was... That literally probably... You know what? I'll get into my announcement. That might be my number one worst That movie is horrible.
You haven't really looked through the list of the year yet, have you?
And I have, like, for a couple, but, like, recent, not, like, you know, earlier in the year, but, yeah, man, I hate Batman Forever. That's like a scorn of my asshole or something like that. Like,
you still got Max Payne and Blair Witch.
Batman Forever is worth well. You're getting tied for one, then.
Pinocchio's Revenge.
Pinocchio's Revenge is better than Batman Forever. I'd rather watch Pinocchio's Revenge over Batman.
Wait, Hellraiser.
Only thing that can top Batman Forever is fucking Blair Witch.
Hellraiser Revelations.
That was awesome. They were in Mexico, remember?
Oh yeah.
Awesome, remember?
That's like Paranormal Activity. The marked ones. They include Mexicans.
The best thing about it is it was only an hour.
That's true.
Only an hour. You had an hour to kill, right? Because I sure did. So,
it's a YouTube movie.
Yeah, I think I told you. No, I watched it after. I think I watched that one when I was getting my car worked on, if I'm not mistaken.
I remember that.
Yeah, but I think that was after porn ends. I can't remember. Either one, I was watching one. People are like, why are you bringing up all these old movies and stuff? Because people got an announcement to make. So, you know, December is right around the corner, Z. You know that, right?
Literally, Thanksgiving is this week.
Yeah, it's this week, so this is the Throwback Tuesday Thanksgiving show, if anything.
We're sorry for our choice.
Yeah, I guess we should have went more Thanksgiving route, but you know what? Hey, happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Want to say
yes.
That? Obviously, like I said, just got an announcement to make about our best and worst of 2014, which this year we're going to do something a little different, and this is probably going to be the ongoing thing with Throwback Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
We do a movie every week, and we're going to dedicate the Throwback Tuesday Best and Worst Of to the movies of Throwback Tuesday of 2014. Which you will get a top 10 best and worst of list from the movies me and Z have personally picked and that you voted for, or some that you may have picked and that won or something like that. And we will knock down our best and worst of each one of those movies.
Which hasn't been a lot of movies that they picked on the other side since you started.
No, it hasn't.
I would say it's been like, what, three? Yeah, it's been like three of them, I think.
Yeah, three, and then, you know, last week would have been an exception had one of them won, but, you know.
Yeah.
I'm up for a Man Stealer.
maybe that'll be a next year movie.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? So, yeah, I don't know. We don't have a date yet when we do that, because I got to look at the calendar of December, and then once I do that, I'm sure we'll pick a date. I'm sure it'll be somewhere around that last week of December, so probably like right up, maybe Christmas. Oh, no, a Christmas show, obviously. Probably right after Christmas, then.
Yeah, that'll be cool. It'll be a fun, actually a fun fucking show.
Yeah, and like always, like last year, what we did, obviously the poll is going up December 1st of Z's top five movies. Well, not top five, but five choices he may pick, my five choices, and of course that other category there, because maybe we might have missed a Christmas movie that you guys might know about to pick on.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, Jesus. Michael's saying, Avatar, that came out on Christmas, didn't it? That'd be a Christmas-based movie, not came out on Christmas.
Well, I have a feeling we're going to get like an old-style movie.
Remember this movie, Black Christmas?
I like that movie.
Like that movie?
The remake.
The remake was the one that came out like what, a couple of years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking hated that movie.
I didn't.
The other day I was watching. I was like, ugh.
That movie. I remember I was looking for that movie. Was like released on Christmas in the theaters, and I could not find that. Like then you know it got released on DVD like maybe a month later.
Yeah.
And I could not. Only certain video stores were running that movie, because I guess it was so, like, scarce, and I think places did not want to have it.
Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, I had just got out of high school when that movie came out, so...
Yeah, that's about right. It's been out forever, though.
It was like 06, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I think so.
Yeah, somewhere around that time when it came out. I don't know what the horror scene was like. If I'm not mistaken, that was before the Paranormal Activity movies came out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
So... Obviously, that was before the supernatural shit that we have going on today.
Yeah.
Such as, you know, Conjuring and Annabelle and shit.
Oh, fuck.
That's neither here nor there, people, because we're here to talk about Tron Legacy.
This movie, like, dominated in the poll. Like, this movie just shot up, like, voting.
Man, this movie, I say it again, it has the best score ever for a film, man. It just...
Did Hans Zimmer do it?
What was that?
Did Hans Zimmer do this?
No, that was Daft Punk.
Was it?
Yeah. What the fuck? That didn't sound shit like Hans Zimmer. What the hell?
The music right when he goes into the world, it sounded like Hans Zimmer.
That didn't sound nothing like no Hans Zimmer. I don't know where you was getting. You was watching the wrong movie again, doing you see. I knew it. Should have told you what movie it was.
Yeah.
You was watching Inception, goddammit.
I wish.
You was watching goddamn Inception. You didn't watch the fucking movie. I knew it.
I wish.
You son of a bitch. Oh, man. This was my, I think it was 2010, if I'm not mistaken, when this movie came out. This is my most anticipated film of the year because I went to Comic-Con 2 years before this hand, and they showed the preview for it. The preview looked fucking amazing. Everybody was hyped about that preview, man. They had that Daft Punk score in the background with the visual, the light cycle battle, and I was like, this shit looks incredible. And then see it in theater, it still looks incredible, but too bad it's boring as fuck.
Yeah, that's a perfect... You know, you hit the nose on the head. You hit it right on the head.
Man, dude, and it was so disappointing, too, when I remember seeing this in theaters. I was so excited. I was like, because at first, I want to say, right after the light cycle battle, what we had before that, it was all fun. It felt like they blew their wad too early or whatever, because after that light cycle battle, shit got boring in that middle half. I was like, well, okay.
It's like a virgin having sex for the first time.
Yeah, it was only good for about 20 seconds. In this case, it was about 20, 30 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not...
How about a plot synopsis, though, Z?
Tron Legacy, directed by Joseph Kosinski.
Yes, sir.
Starring Jeff Bridges, Garrett Hedlund, Olivia Wilde. Budget, $170 million. Damn. Disney really goes out on their budgets, don't they?
Man, yeah, I'm shit. You see this fucking world? How gorgeous it is? Yeah, the budget was worth it.
Have you noticed that live-action Disney movies has a massive budget?
Yeah. Because all the effects that go into
Lone Ranger.
Look at the world. Did you not see this world they created?
This world was completely computer-based.
If you would have saw it cheaper than that, wouldn't you be fucking shocked? Come on now.
Well, I don't know what that was in the 80s, but...
Oh, that movie sucked.
But box office, $400 million. And Tron Legacy is the sequel to Tron, which I think came out in 84. Could be wrong.
I think it was 85.
Mid-80s.
Yes.
And it's about a son, Sam, looking for his missing dad, Kevin, who went back into
digital world, the grid.
The grid. And grid,
which has a song on here. It's that first song played when he was just like, he was talking at the beginning of the movie. He was just like, I got in and all that. And he plays that song. That song is called The Grid. That is a badass fucking song.
Yeah, and he finds his dad. And he has to get back to the real world with his dad's plan, I guess that's the best way to say it, before Clue, who's a younger duplicate, and that's it, I don't know. It's hard to explain a plot.
It's a pretty simple plot. I mean, father. Well, we already know the story. If you saw the original Tron, which a lot of people didn't, because I remember that movie kind of bombed. I think it was mainly critically it was critically hated, but successful in a way because it was critically hated. But critics admired what it was for and stuff like that. I remember that part. Basically, we're picking up where Jeff Bridges' character left off in the original Tron. He goes missing for a while, and everybody thinks he's ran off, abandoned him. And of course he has a son named Sam Flynn, and he leaves him behind, and Sam Flynn's kind of wondering, but then we meet this character, Alan, who was also in the original as well, who Tron is based off of, because Tron is Alan's character, the older man with the glasses who tells him, hey, look, your father has sent me a page, this thing's been off for 20 years now. I forgot who played the character Alan, actually. It was Bruce Boxleitner, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, and it's the same guy from the original.
Yeah. And even in this one, he's playing the same guy, and it kind of would have been cool if he would have Tron in this movie would have took his helmet off, who's played, they give him a different name in this movie when you introduce, his name is Rensler, he's the one with the dual disc.
Dude, he was cool.
Yeah, he was badass, whatever.
He reminded me of Snake Eyes.
Since this was before Snake Eyes, I guess Snake Eyes reminds you of him. Then.
Okay, there you go. But I didn't see this before that.
I'm talking about the original one. Came out in 80, so...
Oh, yeah.
It's the same character, so... which I always wanted to see a Tron of today's time because, you know, the effects in the original obviously look like shit, so... to see it today and prettied up and everything like that. It just looks damn near phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So obviously he gets caught in the grid after finding out his father's underground office and stuff like that. He gets caught in the grid, and next you know he's reunited with his father, and now they're on a mission to escape the digital world before Jeff Bridges' Clue, his secret side character, can escape and bring the digital army to the real world here. And that's pretty much the plot there.
Yeah, let's say that Jeff Bridges, as Clue,
yeah,
his face was weird. It was CG'd to make younger,
which was funny because I've heard critics say it got better at the end with his CG. And I'm on the opposite side of that. I thought it looked good at the beginning and got worse.
It did. He got really, really weird at the end.
They kind of animated him in a way where they continue to... Because obviously at the beginning of the film, all you see is the head, and he's not really doing too much movement, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, he's doing more movement where he has to run, and so they kind of animated CG'd him and shit like that, which I thought was pretty cool. How they did, because I don't know if you know, but this movie was originally supposed to be an animated film.
I don't know how I feel... Well, I don't know how I feel about that.
It was originally supposed to be an animated film, but Disney, they sold the rights to Disney or something like that, and then Disney decided to make a live action.
Well, Disney created the first one.
Because, I don't know if you're mistaken, what's his name? They made an animated show out of this on Disney.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It got canceled pretty quick. I don't think the views are too high on it, because I don't think they promoted it that much. But that show was really good, though. I think it's on Netflix. It was on Netflix. I don't know if it still is, but it was on Netflix. It was pretty good, actually. That was actually the show I wanted this movie to be, to be honest. But nobody really saw it. I don't think nobody knew about it, to be honest. Like, you're hearing you even say that, so...
No, I had no idea. It was on Disney Channel, I take it, right?
Yeah, it was on Disney XD.
Okay. Huh.
You know, obviously Disney owned the rights to Tron and all that shit and stuff like that. I'm surprised Disney's not pushing Tron as much as it is, but I don't know how much Tron really is that popular, to be honest.
I think it's forgettable.
Yeah, I mean, I hear a lot of adults talk about it, but obviously, you know, the adults are kind of a fickle matter. It all kind of relies on kids and shit like that because they're the ones going out to go see these movies. Adults are usually the ones that, like, just, oh, I'll wait till it to come on at home or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
400 million, that says differently, but...
That's worldwide. I want to see how it looks United States.
I think Tron has the potential of doing something better, though, than that 400 million, even worldwide.
I'm trying to think what it made.
I think it might have made, like, 170 or something like
172, that. 172, so it just made its budget back.
Yeah, it was 170. I said 170. Yeah, I was like 2 million off. Yeah, check that out. Yeah. That's
pretty good.
I was in love with this idea, man. I was all for this, man. I'm even excited for the third one that comes out. When did that one come out? I can't remember the sequel after this one, because this movie, obviously, it just opens up for fucking sequels and shit like that. I mean, it left so many things unbalanced, whatever. They've announced it, but I don't know the release date of it and shit like that.
This would have to take at least a couple years to make, probably.
And funny thing is, the director that made this is the director that made Oblivion, which I remember when I watched that movie, I said the same thing. I was like, man, the score and looks of this world is beautiful, but ain't too much in this story. And I said the same thing in Tron Legacy. I was like, yeah, man, the score of it and the look of it, the cinematography and all that stuff looks fucking gorgeous. Some of the best technical work I've ever seen in a film is in Tron Legacy. But when you get to that story and these actors, oh boy.
Fucking, you know what's funny? That I do like Jeff Bridges. I really do.
You know, I'm starting to think that he's probably overrated, because recently, in the past about three to four years, I have not been liking that guy.
Oh, yeah, he does pick some shit. He picked R.I.P.D.
Have you seen him in that trailer for The Seventh Son?
Yes.
That shit looks horrible. I was like, why does he keep doing that fucked up accent?
Yeah, and that movie was supposed to come out this year, and it got pushed a whole year. That's not a good sign.
Yeah, I got pushed back a whole year. But I will say, I agree with you on that one. I thought Jeff Bridges, which is something I liked about him in this film, I thought he was having the most fun. One of the most fun in the film.
Well, you had two characters.
Yeah, that is true.
But
the thing was, I thought Clue was boring.
He was. I mean, was he intimidating?
I don't even think he was intimidating, see?
I wish Michael Sheen was the bad guy.
Oh, see, I thought Michael Sheen was just embarrassing. I thought he embarrassed himself with that performance.
He said, from what he said about his character, he wanted to play like a David Bowie or a Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror.
I felt bad for that dude. Because at first he was cool when he came on the screen. I thought he was all relaxed, cool, played this side character that no one knew was him and shit like that. But then when it kicks off to the fight scene, he's just walking around marching and shit like that, yelling, "Meet the son of our maker!" I was just like, wow, yeah. This dude is embarrassing himself right about now. Like, it almost felt like they just let him ad-lib on this
I set. Wanted, I also wanted more of, shit, what was the guy, the Snake Eyes guy's name?
Tron?
No, yeah, Tron. I wanted more of him.
Yeah, I did too. That was another problem with the film itself too, is I wanted more of Tron, and once again, they leave his story open for, I guess, the sequel or something like that, but at the same time, in this one, there was really nothing about Tron in it. I mean, he makes a goddamn cameo in this film, if anything.
Oh, that fucking, when they were throwing the discs back and forth, that was fucking cool.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, dude, that first 30 minutes, dude, is just, it's exciting, it's fun. Like I said, the opening scene plays that the grid music, which is awesome, and then when you see him on the motorcycle, he's playing I forgot the name of that song, but, I think it's Solar Solaire or something like that. God, what was it? Oh, it's the Son of Flynn. They're playing that song, The Son of Flynn, which was this song. Man, that was a perfect motorcycle scene, though, song with that, whatever. They showed him doing that, and then, you know, the whole setup of him finding the underground and going to the digital world, and then, like, seeing him suit up for the disc armor, and then having the disc wars, and then the light cycle battle with Clue and all that. I was like, man, this movie's about to be fucking awesome. And then next, you know what, they decided to no longer show no more cool action scenes like that, and then get into a lot of goddamn exposition of shit that, I don't know if they did that just to remind people, like, hey, this is a sequel to this movie in the 80s, you know? So, we're trying to fill you in on what happened in that film here. It's just like, I do not need all this fucking exposition going on right now.
Oh, I'm with you, because I loved, like you said, the first part. I loved the games.
Game's awesome. I would love to see a movie about that, personally, just generally, the games itself. Like, you can make the most simplest fucking movie out of that one scene, it would have been fucking spectacular and amazing just because of the special effects in this film and the music that they had going on or whatever and shit. Like, they could have easily did, like, some Gladiator shit with this movie and just set it up just based in the games.
Yes. Oh, my God. That would have been cool. You know how many games they could have pre-made?
Yeah. Especially with, let's say Sam Flynn works his way up to the who they have Tron in here, who plays Rensler in the film, because he's on Clue's side right now, so they play him Rensler. It would have been like, oh, the final fight is against him, and they would have set that up. Man, they could have cut out all of that shit of when this character, Garrett Hedlund, who plays Sam Flynn, which, by the way, I think one of the reasons why this movie was so disappointing as it was is because that actor was horrible.
You know who he reminded me of?
You know, he reminds people, a lot of people, but I'm questionable who he reminds you of.
Taylor Kitsch.
Yes, I've said that before. Yes.
You know what's eerie? They both played a similar character in a Friday Night Lights movie and TV show.
You know, he reminded me of a movie I just recently saw, too, and I was talking with me and Cody. I can't remember what it was. And the movie was, it could have been fine, but the actor was just sucking the soul out of the fucking fun. Because everybody else is having fun, and this actor is just looking weird and shit like that. I always admire studios for getting unknown actors and shit like that for big projects and stuff. But, that man, this kid was horrible, dude. He was just fucking horrible.
He literally showed no emotion.
No emotion whatsoever. Like, he had no reaction to anything, and he was always making these stupid-looking faces and shit like that. I was just like, my God, even at the end, like, Olivia Wilde, I give her credit, I mean, her character, all the credit in the world. She looked like she was having fun with this film, she was excited, she was like this glowing chick that was in this world, and even at the end of the movie, when they're on the motorcycle, she's smiling, acting as if she's never been to a world, which she hasn't, she's never been to this world or anything like that, and I was staring at Sam Flynn's character, I was just staring, and I was like, man, he's still got that stupid look on his face, too, I was just like,
and what's the fucked up part of the whole thing is when he first goes into the grid.
Yeah.
You think you'd be freaking out.
Yeah.
He looked natural.
And another reason, and he has two reasons why he should be freaking out, too. One reason is he just got transferred to a fucking world he knows nothing about. And second of all, he should be ecstatic that this is the world my father told me as a kid. He actually fucking created this. Like, he should be looking almost on the levels of scared, confused, and excited at the same time, you know?
How old was the kid at the beginning when he was telling the story? I'm like, isn't that little kid too old to be getting told stories?
Let's see, he was 27 in the movie, and they said 20 years passed by, so he was 7.
I knew that kid was. I knew the character was gonna be a bitch. That, like when his father disappeared, how he acted. I knew that he was gonna be a bitch.
But yeah, he didn't really act too much like a bitch in here.
But that when you first see him as an adult, when on the motorcycle, that was kind of cool.
That was fucking awesome when he did when he was tricking those cops, and then the whole setup of the stealing, which was his, not even necessarily stealing, because it is his company, messing up their games that they had, that they were going to charge people, and he set it up to where it was free for the whole world and shit like that. That was cool of him, too. And, you know, obviously, that's when Alan comes in, Bruce Boxler's character, tell him, hey, look, and then he's just like, man, my father left me. I actually liked that part of him, because he's just like, I accepted it. He left me. It's whatever. Okay, I don't care about it. But then they started giving that Negro more fucking dialogue and shit like that. The dialogue in here between Sam Flynn and his character was kind of horrible. And I don't necessarily know how I feel about Jeff Bridges' character. Because at one point, I hated his dialogue. But rewatching the movie, I was kind of like, well, before I rewatched it, I was thinking about, well, like, he was stuck in the 80s. So, I mean, he never interacted with any more human beings for 20 years. So I guess the 80s dialogue. Because they gave him lines like radical and all that shit like that. Because obviously it was 80s slang.
Yeah, well, I wonder if that was their intention.
I'm just like, I don't even know how I feel about it.
I wonder if that was their intention. But you also missed the Cillian Murphy.
Oh.
Plays a fucking cameo like he always does.
Which, by the way, they set everybody up in this room as if they're supposed to be villains.
I know,
and
he
back on screen.
I guess his character played the son of the villain from the first one.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, because it's been a long time since I've seen the original Tron. You know, I'm like, okay, is he gonna have a bigger part? Nope, he's done.
Yep. Nope. Once again, another opening for a sequel. I mean, I'm telling you, this movie was opening for a fucking sequel. Like, they granted a fucking sequel when they fucking greenlighted this project and shit like that. All the damn openings that they had in this film, and then, like I said, everybody in this room felt like potential bad guys in here. Nope, never come back to them.
No, I even had like a Alan. He kind of seemed a little bad guy-ish too, just a tad.
Nah, I didn't get that, but okay.
Just I don't know, just like
he was the most hopeful out of everyone. He was the only one saying that Flynn was still alive.
Yeah.
I didn't get that from him at all.
Do you notice Flynn's arcade was like in a horrible part of town?
Okay, what I want to I'm calling bullshit on this right now. Okay, it's been 20 fucking years and this arcade is still operational.
I know.
Those arcade games look like brand new fucking games, man. Brand new fucking, and people are probably saying, oh, Incom, you know, kept it up and running. Then why was that shit in covers and shit like that? Like, nobody's been there in 20 years. I remember he moved the cover off the Tron game. That shit still looked brand new. I was just like, damn, there's not a dent, a scratch, nothing on it. Kids didn't come in here and raid the place?
I know. Especially those games are going to be, and those games would be worth thousands of dollars, probably.
Hey, you talk about the town, too. That town reminded me of Batman, Gotham and Batman Begins.
The slums?
Yeah. You remember the part where it was raining and Scarecrow sprayed him with that shit or whatever?
Yeah.
Like Gotham a little bit.
And where was this supposed to take, where was this supposed to be at? Like, what city is it supposed to be, like, at?
I think it's some made-up city.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure, to be honest. I don't know.
I couldn't tell, because take away from the freeway stuff and the motorcycle, the town looked dead. Even at the end, when he's on this motorcycle, no one was in this town. I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, the thing was, it's like, where the fuck was he going, personally? Because the town I saw beforehand was a beautiful-looking city. You in the goddamn woods now, nigga. Where the fuck did you go?
Yeah, exactly.
Where did you go?
Yeah, and he went from city to woods in like a snap.
I love how the movie opens up, how it plays that music, and you hear Jeff Bridges describing the crib, and then it turns sideways, and you see Tron Legacy, the title car, and they show you that open view shot of the city. That shit looked beautiful.
I don't know if you noticed, but it doesn't. It just says Tron as the title card.
Yeah.
I'm like, where's Legacy at? I love that opening shot too. That it's just a straight fade in to the house.
Yeah, that was beautiful, and especially with the, like I said, with Jeff Bridges and the music kicking in, that was just, I was like in shock. I was like, man, this city is just gorgeous, man.
They wasted all their budget. They wasted all their budget on
that. I'm telling you, that budget was well fucking worth spent, man. Most of the time, I bitch about how high a budget is, but it looked like that budget was worth it for this film.
Yeah, I think that's why you don't have, like, big... Olivia Wilde, I don't think she was huge at the time.
I don't even think she's huge now, really. So.
She's B-plus actor, probably.
She's known, but I don't think she's known to general public.
No. Yeah. Bridges, this is, like, 2 years after Iron Man.
Yeah, I don't think no one cared about Jeff Bridges going in, either. I think you know how a Disney movie usually goes, is they're pretty much like, hey, we don't need big-name actors to sell a movie, which they really don't.
No, they don't.
Yeah, I think Tron actually had the potential of being one of the best sequel reboots that they could have possibly been, and halfway got it right.
They did.
I almost kind of wish they would have just spent the money and got a better actor, because that was my worst thing of the film, was I hated that main actor they had, Garrett Hedlund. I couldn't stand that dude. I was just like, my God, like you said it best, he, like, the kid just had this look on his face like he didn't know what was going on. It looked like he was struggling to remember lines and shit. And to be honest, watching him interact with Jeff Bridges and Olivia Wilde, with Jeff Bridges, like I said, I'm not really too fond of him in this film, but I get where he's coming from in this film, and he looked like he was having a good time. Olivia Wilde, her character, probably was one of the most funnest I saw on screen, and to see him interact with those two, I'm just like, man, he just feels out of place with these two, to be honest.
She reminded me a lot of Selena from Underworld's character.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I thought she was probably the most second best character in the whole movie.
You know, Garrett Hedlund reminds me of. I remember this one too. Hayden Christensen from Star Wars.
There you go. There you go.
He looks just like that, sucking the life out of fucking movies and shit.
Yep. He's got
it's
that.
It's amazing how one actor can just like downgrade a whole movie, though. Like,
that's a lot of talent.
They easily could have got someone better than this kid. I mean, granted, I like that new actors get chances in big projects, but like breakout roles, good for him. But man, this dude, I don't know who saw him and said, oh, he's got something for this film. But I was like, this kid is shit. I thought he was the worst actor in this whole film, to be honest.
Oh, he was.
For Michael Sheen's character, but I thought this Garrett Hedlund guy, I was like, he got to go.
Oh, he was. Like, I was just watching, I'm like, at first I thought it was Taylor Kitsch. I'm like, oh, fuck. And then I'm watching, I'm like, I know that he's from Friday Night Lights, I know him. And I'm just watching it, and I'm like, you know, you can branch out a little bit on your acting.
Man, like you said, when he went into the world, I don't know what your first reaction should be, but it shouldn't just be standing there just looking up in the sky and shit like that. Most people would have ran, I don't know, like, screaming or something like that, like, oh my God, out of breath or something, like, and then, you know, be trapped on that, which, by the way, the set pieces and designs look fucking gorgeous, dude. I
beautiful.
Love that flying thing that they were on, the security guards and all that stuff that they're attached to, that how it is, and they had that song kicking. I was just like, my God, man, once again, that first 30 minutes of this film was just absolutely breathtaking. It was just a beautiful display of scenery and music integration and all that, whatever. I mean, if there ever had to been a score to settle with, definitely was this one. It fit the world so perfectly.
Mm-hmm. And when those sirens came out, when they changed his clothes, he goes, "The pant, there is a zipper." Like, say, I'm like, yeah, I don't think any movie would act like that.
You know, I gotta, when I rewatched it, I was like, you know, that could have been a good line or a funny line had it been delivered by somebody else.
Yeah, because he said it, seriously, he said it so soft you could barely hear it.
Not only could you barely hear it, but he had no fun when he said it. Like, if you're gonna say a smart ass line like that, at least crack a smile or something like that. I mean, fuck, dude.
Have confidence in that line.
Give me something to work with here, dude. Because, like, this is the part of the movie where I'm still liking, and yet I still hate him. But yet, I'm like, he just delivered a line that could have been actually fun or something like that, or funny or whatever, and he has no emotion to it whatsoever. I'm just like, My fucking God, dude. If you're going to say a line like that, own up to it. You know, like you said, be confident about it.
Yeah, especially, I mean, that could have been a funny line if it was by someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just...
Yo, Mike B. Jordan in here or something like that.
It was just, it's, seriously, he read, he pretty much, his script must have just said, just words, no emotion.
Cause... It almost looked like he was reading that line off the back of that girl's head.
they had cheat notes everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, like he couldn't remember his line or what it was or how to deliver, so he just read it off the back of her neck when she was undoing his pants and shit like that. Because you know my black ass would have said, chick taking some lightning and screw my pants. I'd be like, hey, well, you know there's a zipper down there if you'd like, but
yeah, that would have been a little better.
Or, you know, at least have a reaction like, hey, what are you doing? What's going on here? Or something like that. But this dude is just sitting there like, hey, he's like a fucking hipster or something like that.
Yeah, that's a good point to say that he is a hipster.
Man, it was killing me, dude. It was really fucking killing me because, like I said, it was my most anticipated film of the year. And I heard the score because I had bought the album before the movie came out. And I was listening. It was gorgeous. And then this opening was so beautiful to me. And then just to see him just deliver his lines, like, okay, maybe the story will get better. And then when it just cuts off to that middle half, which where it really got fucking boring, it was just like, man, goddamn, dude, give me something to work with here.
Yeah, one thing I do kind of question on his character is that he knew how to, like, when they went to the light bikes games, he knew exactly what to do.
What do you mean, what to do?
Like, he knew how to turn the lights on. He knew how to drive the bike.
Well, the bike shouldn't be that hard because he rides motorcycles.
True, but he knew exactly how to do everything. You know what I mean?
Like, I think it was just like riding a motorcycle. I didn't think it was nothing to it. It's just a regular motorcycle with a light cycle.
So. I thought so too, but I just thought it's him. It's his first interaction in the world. I think that's just a major killer. Like, it's like an everyday occurrence for him.
Like I said, it's just a motorcycle. It's nothing special to that. I mean, if you know how to drive ride a motorcycle, it's nothing. I mean, that could have been the same thing because I ride one, and there should be no problem why I can't ride that light cycle either.
True.
Because it's just a stick shift or whatever. There's nothing to it or anything like that. I mean, the biggest thing is just turning the light on itself, but obviously that's just one switch close to the handlebar, so it should be. I don't think there's no big, like, turning point for that or anything like that.
Yeah, but the games were fucking sweet. I wish they had more time and they'd done it more, because, god damn, that was so cool.
I don't know why they dwelled into the story of, you know, Jeff Bridges and them coming up or something like that. I mean, it probably would have been a better movie had they just went the simple plot plan of saying Clue had Jeff Bridges and they were looking for his disc. He wouldn't talk. And if you win the games, then, you know, you get something or something like that. Or if he would have won the games or made it to the final or something like that, he would have just broke his father free. They would have found the disc itself or something like that. It probably would have just been better if they did that because this movie gets passes by people, critics, fans, and everything else. Whatever. It gets passed just based on the music, mm-hmm. the look of the film, and the action scenes itself because the story is dog shit.
It is because right after he gets rescued by... Olivia Wilde, that's where the story comes into play, and it's very long and boring. You see a lot of flashbacks.
It's fucking very long. And the flashbacks, I didn't even have a problem with. I was just like, if you don't show me that, just give me that as the story then. You know, because even that story looked interesting. I was like, well, then just give me fucking that then, because this shit that's going on, like the whole... if they was going to go the story route with this and they told that flashback, then they should have followed Tron more then, a.k.a. Rensler in the film.
Yeah, and I would have been fine with that. I think they really missed the part on him. Him being such a big character.
Mm-hmm. And it almost, and I don't know, maybe one of the reasons why is because nobody knew that was Tron until Jeff Bridges saw him.
I think
the audience, as the audience watching it, we all knew that was Tron because we saw him with the two discs at the flashback scene. So it's like,
yeah.
No, it's pretty obvious at this point, 2-2 here, but...
Did you like how Rensler just kind of... he kind of made eye contact with Bridges and was like, and it kind of just kind of, he because he was reprogrammed, Tron was reprogrammed by Clue.
Yeah.
And then he just catches his eye, and then he remembers everything. And then he tries to kill Clue.
That felt sped up.
It did. I'm like, it seems like there's more to the story, but what we saw.
And another thing that felt sped up, too, was just Jeff Bridges' character and everything, too. Because at one minute, he's almost like Zen-like type, slash Obi-Wan Kenobi type, and slash almost a god.
That's what I was going to say.
I mean, shit, that scene where they're in this club scene with Michael Sheen's character, and, you know, the actual scene in this even looked good. I even like the music once again for that, you know, a special appearance by Daft Punk, their cameo, hiding up in the booths being the DJs.
Oh, they fit perfectly in this world.
Yeah, oh, shit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is their world.
Best casting in the whole movie.
Pretty much.
When they showed them, I, you know, first watching this, I was just like, man, that could be anything. They fit perfect in this goddamn world. There ever had to be a movie where a musician had to be in. Yeah, the Tron Legacy and Daft Punk, no doubt. But there was that scene where that kick-ass music kicked in, man. It was doom, doom. And then Jeff Bridges' character shows up, and he gets on the ground, and they're praying to him and shit like that, but it slowed down. I was just like, holy shit, dude. And then he makes everything just like where all the other programs beat the shit out of the bad programs. Uh-huh. I was like, yeah, this dude is awesome.
I loved how, even like in the fight, and you can say even in the games, because it happened when someone crashes or dies, they pretty much like turn into particles or something.
Yeah, that was one of the best things I thought like Disney could get around with, you know, is the whole murder thing of, you know, not being able to show blood and shit like that and stuff like that. That was a creative way of killing someone and not making it look gruesome and brutal for going over the, I guess, the PG-13 rating.
Uh huh. Was this PG-13 awesome, or is this PG?
I'm not sure, actually, to be honest.
It's I can see a PG on this one.
That was a song, man. Oh, God. Oh. When that came on and Jeff Bridges walked in the room, I was like, holy shit, shit about to get real up in here.
Music's a big thing for you in movies, isn't it?
Man, it was a huge thing. And this movie, oh, it definitely was, because this movie is heavily... Okay, I just looked it up. It's PG, this movie is.
I figured that.
Yeah, I kind of figured that too, just given by the dialogue. It is heavily set up. Music and the set piece and all that really changed this movie around for me. Because if they didn't have that, this movie would be some bullshit then. This was the hardest movie to review, personally, or whatever. Just seeing how much great things they had in this film. And to see this horrible actor they had, and then the story gets... the story overtakes what people really came to see, which is the deadly Tron discs and all that shit and stuff like that. And I was just like, okay, this is the one movie I'm going to say I don't want that much background story because I already know most of this shit, so there's no reason to tell me this shit.
Do you think they're just, like, shoving it down our throats due to the fact of the big gap between the first one and this one?
Probably so. I know I brought that up earlier or whatever, but I'm not sure, like, if they were trying to... Because obviously it's PG, they're taking their kids to go see it now, and I don't know if they were catering to the adults who might not remember this film, be like, oh yeah, I do remember that, okay. That was the story of it, and I don't know if they were like, oh, they can tell their kids this now, you know, and this is the original, because obviously the kids ain't never going to go back and watch that shit, because effects and that look pretty fucking horrible, but,
Did you think, with the dialogue, because you said about Bridges... Do you think this is kind of pass this off as an 80s movie felt like in the future?
No. It's just Jeff Bridges' character stuck in there. But the thing is, one problem I have with that is just like, ain't like he was frozen like Captain America or nothing like that. You know? So, it's like now, but then again, I'll defend it by saying, well, he never had any human interaction for 20 goddamn years, so that's another thing, too. But Jeff Bridges' character was just weird. I don't mean that by his acting. His character was just weird in general because we brought up, like, he was like this Obi-Wan Kenobi Zen-type character who had a lot of fucking powerful powers at one point because even when Clue went to his hideout, he was touching shit and he was just like, this son of a bitch has made real artifacts even to me. I mean, these things feel real. These books and all that or whatever and shit. It's like, this dude is pretty fucking powerful right now. But then you get to certain scenes with the inconsistency of it, which is like, okay, if he's so goddamn powerful, he should be able to stop this in the blink of an eye then.
Yeah, and I thought he was only powerful with his disc. But when his disc got stolen, he could still do shit.
Yeah, his disc, that disc is nothing. It's just it just holds information.
Okay, I thought that was like a part of you.
No, it just holds your thoughts, memories, and information and shit like that. It doesn't have like any special power or anything like that.
Okay,
it's just a weapon that holds all your. It just knows all your information and shit like that. Like they show when it opens up, Clue takes Sam's disc and it has all that information on it and stuff like that. So.
And then Olivia Wilde also turns into an ISO. Like she's the last one.
Yeah, yeah, she's an ISO, one of the last of their kind, because we find out that Clue kind of exterminated them all, because he's like Ultron in this movie.
Yeah.
You're imperfect, and none of you are worthy, so you all gotta fucking die. And I even thought that was cool, too, when Jeff Bridges was telling that story, and you see him bomb that building when he was walking away and shit, where all the ISOs were at and stuff. I was like, see, that's even fucking cool.
Yeah, they even get...
It just goes on into nothing, and you're just like, okay.
They even gave Bridges as Clue. They gave him like a Hitler moment.
Put your faith in me, and I will always be your leader.
I didn't really understand his plan of bringing the Tron world or the Grid world to our world.
Yeah, there's nothing to understand.
It's That's kind of like a Transformers plot.
He just wanted to rule the world. That's all it was.
That's how Michael Bay got the Transformers 3 plot, bringing Cybertron to Earth.
That's where he got all the plots, whatever. It's the most simplest reasons of all time, whatever. Obviously, he's a computer, evil computer that's stuck into this little tiny world that, you know, he can only control for so long, whatever. Why, if I have all this power, do I gotta be confined to small little units? I should be able to rule the whole world. So, there's nothing really to his motivations or anything. I thought Clue was just a really just a forgettable character, to be honest, thrown in here.
And Bridges is in the Outlands, I guess you can say, of the Grid.
Yes, sir.
And he's with Olivia Wilde for 20 years or whatever. You don't think...
No, he's fucking it, right?
That's what I was about to say. I'm like... He's 20 years. It's Jeff Bridges. Come on.
You know goddamn well when Sam asked him why have you tried to come back, and he wanted to just look at Olivia Wilde and go like, come on now, really?
She did look really good in this.
This is probably the best I've ever seen her look, man. She looked fucking hot, dude. I was loving her. I was just like, man, she is looking sexy, dude. I love that little smile of hers and everything. I was like, man, she is fucking hot. I even love her on this poster, her ass sticking out and shit. I'm just like,
That's like the... Yeah, She just looked gorgeous. Perfect casting.
Why would he even ask that question? Why you never tried to come back? It's like, come on, son. Do you see this? I mean, look at this. Who wouldn't want to leave this world? You get to watch. You get to play with a disc, light cycle runs and shit, and this hot ass chick been blowing me for 20 years. Come on now, son. Come on, man. Why would you even ask that? If Zia, Cody, and them would ever ask me some sight like shit like that, it's like, why you never came back? I'd be looking at you like, are you stupid? Look at this. Why would I come back to the real world? I can create anything I ever wanted in
yes.
this world.
Yeah, I mean, Bridges had it pretty much made, besides Clue, but he had it made.
Besides Clue trying to kill him every goddamn minute.
I mean, he had Olivia Wilde, and plus those gorgeous sirens at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Olivia Wilde, I mean, the light cycle he created, that light cycle he made was bad ass. I was like, man... There is so much. They barely showed it. They just showed him son riding it. Which, by the way, his son gave it to some fucking dude. Just throw him. I was like, what a fucking bastard, dude.
I know.
What a bastard, dude. Got Olivia Wilde. You can create anything you want. I mean, these Negroes was eating food. Even Sam looked at that shit and smelled it and was just like, how the fuck can he create food in this world for me to eat?
I wondered that too, because they had a pig.
Yeah.
I'm like, where did this pig come from?
Fucking Jeff Bridges out of his ass. That's where. so, why would you ever ask him that question? Why you never tried to come? Oh, what the fuck do you mean why I never came home? I have it all here, son. I have it all.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I would never come back home. Like you said, other than, you know, Clue trying to kill me, but, you know.
I mean, Bridges had the power to kill him, right? He was just hit by himself, that's why he probably didn't do it.
Yeah, I was wondering, well, he said in the film, he was just like, it's just too much to risk if I go out there and they get a hold of my disc and, you know, kill me. Because, you know, obviously, you know, it's just him and Olivia there, but, you know, obviously if he would have been seen, you know, Clue has pretty much the whole city under his fingertips and shit like that. So, you know, it's just easy to get his disc and, you know, get rid of him.
Couldn't he just, like, take the disc off and hide it?
Probably so, yeah. That's one fucking way. Or, I guess he just felt it was probably safer with him.
Or steal someone else's disc.
I'm pretty sure he just felt it was safer with him. Yeah. it's just safer with him. I don't think it's capable to leave this thing laying around because the Clue was getting stronger by the minute. So I don't know.
You know what? What character I absolutely hated besides Sam was Jarvis. Clue's little butt buddy.
Yeah, Clue's little ball-headed son of a bitch there, or whatever and shit. His little kiss ass. Yeah,
I hated him.
Didn't you just want to kill him?
Yes.
Like when Sam grabbed him by the throat, I was just like, just disc his ass right now and shit. Just disc his ass. Then Clue just killed him. He was about to say, "Death to the general."
At least
that shit was awesome, dude.
Yeah, at least he didn't kill Rensler, and I want to see more of him.
Yeah, another problem I had with the film, too, is seeing more of Rensler. I wanted to see more of this city.
Yeah, we didn't see shit.
Yeah, this city didn't never, it barely got even a fucking explored or anything like that. There was nothing to it. I was just like, man, once the opening kicks out of here and shit, you just get glimpses of it every now and then. I was like, what was the point of creating this fucking world if we ain't gonna fucking explore it and shit like that?
And it's like the only people there were on the grid were at the games or at this bar.
Everybody's at that bar. We talking about
because Daft Punk was there.
I'd love to be an extra at that bar, man. I love the costume designs, everything up there. I was like, this shit looks cool.
Do the colors mean anything?
Like which colors?
Like Clue had orange, or
the orange ones. Obviously, they work for Clue.
Okay, because it's kind of like lightsabers colors in Star Wars. Okay.
It's kind of like the, you know, the red lightsabers are the evil ones, and, you know, the blue ones are the good ones. So, yeah, it's kind of like
and
that.
The purple ones are for Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, and purple is for black people. there were no black people in this movie, if I'm not mistaken. There was one.
Yeah, he died at the bar.
That shit was funny. That shit was funny how his ass got killed, because he was just like, users fight back or whatever and shit. And he fought back and they drilled his ass. I was like, damn, I guess that nigga didn't last long.
Okay. I loved at like right before the games when he's on that I don't know what the hell that ship. That one get the crazy prisoner. He kept saying no games, no games, no games. And he killed himself. I loved how they incorporated the games to be like the worst thing imaginable.
Yeah.
I love that. And they did awesome job on the games and they completely forgot about it.
I was going to say, another thing that you like about that scene, though, because I like that character, too, even though he was just, like, in that one scene, he put some fear into you, like, oh, shit, but we got this horrible actor as the main lead
who
still got this stupid look on his fucking face. He should be worried. That if you see somebody commit suicide because they don't want to do something that you're going to make them, that automatically tells you, oh, shit.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
And he gets suited up, and he's just like, what's going on, whatever. It's just like, oh my god. Did you not just see a dude jump off a fucking building to some propellers and kill him? What do you mean, what's going on? I ain't doing this shit. That dude's horrible, man. Fuck that dude. He's gotta be almost one of the worst actors of our throwback to Xavier. I was like, this dude.
He's up there.
He was ruining scenes like that, though. Like, it was just like, dude.
And this is... Even when he's not talking, he's ruining scenes.
Yeah, he is.
Because he's got the same damn expression on his face.
So fucking reactions to anything. You just saw a dude commit suicide, and you saw the guards, they just like, fuck him then. You want to commit, let him jump shit or whatever and shit. That just goes to show you, these games are horrible, which, by the way, those games were horrible. Everybody died right away. I mean, and then even one of the guys told him, we gotta use the track to our advantage because their bikes are faster. I was like, ain't that a bitch? They stuck them in the game with fucking bikes that is not at the same speed as theirs. I was like, that's some bullshit.
Well, Clue was a little bastard.
Yeah, Clue was a bastard. And, you know, I thought that was cool for Clue, too. Even much as a villain, I don't really care for him. I thought he was boring as fuck in this movie. I thought that was cool opening for Clue to be the first one into the games.
Okay,
I thought they kind of blew their load, though, when I saw that middle half with it, and I was just like, oh, maybe they should just save that.
Seriously, after the games, and after, you know, when Bridges is, which, big surprise, he's alive, that's where I kind of blanked out a lot. I'm like, because it's just talking and talking.
It's boring, oh, especially when they were on a train, dude. When they were on a fucking train, I was just like, damn, dude, this train looks gorgeous, but is it ever going to fucking end? Like, seriously.
I noticed that, too. I'm like... End it. The train's gonna keep going. Just keep going.
It would have been better as a 30-minute fucking TV show with that one open, with that opening. That would have been like, oh, I'm fine with just that. I'm perfect with that. The only thing that saves it at the end, probably, not only is the music, the special effects, or anything like that, is the fight battle we get at the end with the planes.
Yeah, which is it was very similar to the car, the bikes.
Their light cycles, yeah, it looked really fucking cool. I was like, man, their action scenes in this movie was incredibly cool. I mean, it was just awesome or whatever. And then it landed, and then we get back to this kid with his horrible fucking delivery of dialogue, whatever. I like how his father, I don't know what happened in this scene right here, but when Jeff Bridges is telling him, just go, and he's just still standing there, and he's pausing at every line of his dialogue while I'm pausing, then he'd be like, come with me! And I'm just like, nigga, get your ass in the light, goddammit! Stop talking, shit. Just stop talking, please.
Even at the end, when his dad was sacrificing himself and not wanting to go, I just thought that was retarded.
I thought it was all retarded in the simple fact that I'm kind of getting tired of these movies where I understand it's your father and everything, but I'm getting tired of these things where the main character don't see the bigger picture of things. It's like, look. Your father's obviously sacrificing himself for a reason here, because if this son of a bitch joins you in that portal, then game over for the world, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So get your ass in the fucking portal and just get your ass out of here. I had the same problem with fucking Hunger Games. It's like, the last one just came out. It's like, there's a war going on, and this bitch Katniss is still bitching about, where's Peeta at? Where's Peeta? It's like, bitch, you know how many kids are dying right now, and people and shit like that? You worried about this one motherfucker who you're not even interested in. Now all of a sudden you are, and it's like, I'm kind of getting tired of these people not seeing the bigger picture of things here.
Yeah, that was a kind of complaint about mine, too.
Yeah, and Olivia Wilde's like, it's okay, it's what he wants, but he still stood there going, come with me! I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. I remember going in the movie already, Jesus! That kid is horrible, man! Horrible!
This movie is 2 hours long.
Kid is horrible. He is fucking horrible, man. He made, well, even the cool scenes seem bad or whatever. Just because I like the music and I like the scene between Jeff Bridges and Clue and shit like that. But then this kid introduced to it, I was just like, okay, he just dropped this. It went from a 5 in this scene to almost to a damn near 2 now because of him.
Really?
I hated that guy with a passion, man. I fucking hated that guy.
Have you seen him in other stuff?
What was the last thing I saw this dude in? Garrett,
he was in.
Fuck,
he was.
I know I saw him in something before. Don't tell me. God, I hate this dude. He was in. What's that movie? Brad Pitt. He was in Troy.
Yeah.
He was also in Inside Llewyn Davis too.
Yeah,
I hated him in that one too. But he was barely on. He was on like he had like a cameo. But it wasn't nothing big.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, because that was one of my, I love that movie as far as the music goes. And he was, if I'm not mistaken, he was in that movie with Tyrese, right?
Four Brothers,
yeah. I just looked him up right now. He got this stupid look on his fucking face and shit. Look at him. Jesus Christ, this dude's a horrible person. He ain't just a horrible actor, he's a horrible person.
He goes, yep, I'm an actor.
Yep. He's got that look at him like, yep, I got Legacy. That's Patron Legacy. That's right. Man, you ready to get in some final thoughts and rating time?
Yeah. I'm gonna get it. It's not a fuck it. It could have been.
Oh, easily.
I'm gonna say it's a low stream it. It's a low to a mid stream it. The music was good, which my mistake. I really thought it was Hans Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer can't even touch music like this.
It's true. Now that I know that who did it, but the cinematography was really good too. We didn't bring that up, but that was really good. What's that?
I said it at the beginning.
Oh, okay. The scenery, absolutely beautiful, amazing. The acting,
Technically, it's a perfect film. Technically.
Technically, yes.
Yeah, it's the writing and actors.
And I would say it's the directing as well. I never seen Oblivion, so I don't know if Cruise was kind of like Sam.
Cruise was much better. I think Cruise was the only thing that it had going for it. It's kind of like it's funny because it's odd. Well, the music and the cinematography was beautiful, and Cruise was the best thing in it. Everybody else was horrible. At least I thought so.
Even Freeman?
Oh, yeah. Freeman plays the same fucking character in every goddamn movie. So, yeah, Freeman sucked in that movie. I'm tired of Freeman's ass and shit like that. Problem with Oblivion, too, is it got boring somewhere in the middle as well.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, what a surprise, right?
But, you know, Jeff Bridges was cool. I didn't like his Clue character. That Clue character just got weird. He did not feel threatening.
This world didn't feel threatening, really.
No, you would think it should have been, but
yeah, especially when they're sneaking around the city and shit, you should feel scared for these characters, right?
You should, but
and you don't. I mean, like you said earlier, it opens up with this guy committing suicide and shit, like, cause he don't want to be here no more. And then after that, we just get club scenes.
Yeah, and it's the first part of the movie's good, the last part of the movie's good, it's just in between, it's the most boringest shit you can ever imagine.
It's without like, a doubt, it's like Blair Witch boring, too.
Okay? There you go.
It's like Blair Witch fucking boring. I don't excuse that middle half for nothing. That middle half was just fucking, it was sucking the soul out of the movie along with that actor.
He was killing it.
Yeah. So, what was your rating again?
I'm gonna get a low stream it. Low stream it.
Okay. You said pretty much everything I had to say. The opening of it was damn near, it was amazing. It was interesting. It was, the last couple of minutes, when it gets to the flying scenes, that was even cool. I was like, man, this is alright, we're getting back into it. It's a shame it's about the end in 10 minutes, but, you know, getting back into it or whatever. That was cool. Special effects, cinematography, all look perfect. Technically, it is a perfect film. I mean, music-wise, it perfectly fit the scene. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw a movie where the music just fit the scene, the tone of what was going on and shit like that. It easily amped its way up with each scene that happened. Olivia Wilde's character, I actually liked her character. I thought she had a lot of fun with the role doing it and stuff like that. She played it very well and stuff. It's a shame that I feel like this was the Spider-Man effect where I believe Andrew Garfield was holding Emma Stone back. Well, I can say the same thing for here. Garrett Hedlund, since he's the star, he was holding Olivia Wilde back, to be honest.
Wow. It
was like he was kind of casting his bad shadow acting over her and shit like that, which I guess the same was said in the Spider-Man films as well. Jeff Bridges, I don't know how I feel about that character. It's like he's somewhere in the middle where I was like, I get where his character is coming from. But I think, personally, they just didn't know what the fuck to do with his character because they gave him so many different personalities and personas in this film. It's just like, it's all over the fucking place. Martin Sheen's character, that was just weird and embarrassing for him. I was like, man, this...
You have to admit, it was the most lively character.
It was. I'll give him that. Yeah, it was lively, but it was weird how it came out of nowhere and shit, and the shit he just started doing. They turned him into damn near goddamn metrosexual at that point when it came out. I was just like, okay, well, what's up with his character? What is going on here and shit like that? What else? The acting, Clue, I thought was a He was boring as fuck. I'm not gonna lie. He was just boring. I was like, he wasn't intimidating or nothing like that. He was a cool ass dude on that the life cycle battle too. The middle half, my god, man, that really just they could have easily just cut all that out. I was just like, this adds nothing to the story. What's going on? I didn't even know this. Exposition. So for me, I gotta go low rent it.
How exactly did he die?
Who died again?
Jeff Bridges total.
He sucked him, he absorbed him back or whatever, and it just blew up the whole digital world.
So, the grid's done.
From what we know of, I'm assuming that in the sequel, I think it's going to be based around Olivia Wilde's character.
Yeah.
Seeing how he kept saying her race can, her DNA can change the whole world and shit like that, so I'm assuming they might do something with that, but who knows now at this point.
Yeah, and if she dies in the real world, is she gonna turn to, like, the computer? Is she
gonna...
What if he crashed his bike?
Damn, you just made me want to throw her off a roof now, just to see what happens to her. Just like, Sam just tricks her, jump off the roof now. Don't worry, it'll just digitize whatever. She jumps off that motherfucker, her head just blows up, and she explodes, blood comes out, and be like, oh, I guess she's human now.
My bad.
My bad.
Now I gotta find another ISO.
Yeah. That'd be funny if, like, she's like cooking or whatever, she's cutting up some tomatoes, she cuts herself and just like pixels fall out of her instead of blood.
Oh, that would've been funny.
I mean, this movie was the biggest disappointment of that year to me. I'm still excited about the sequel and shit. I'm just hoping that they can fix it up now, you know, now that we've gotten better with certain things, and hopefully they can fix certain things, whatever. I'm just curious to see what they can do with it, hopefully amp it up a little bit better. The shit that they had wrong with it is just minor problems that could easily be fucking fixed. It easily can be fucking fixed.
Like, find another actor.
That was what I was going to say. Hey, I was going to say that too, man. But you ready to get some questions now, man?
Yeah.
Some questions.
These are going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah, man. Batman Forever. I got one from Nora. She says, yeah, I kind of agree with you, P1. It's not like that I don't like Nolan's Batman. It's just I'm burned out on him. I'm burned out on Batman in general. Yeah, I'm kind of that way, too. I'm just kind of burned out on Batman right now. I think he's the only superhero that doesn't get a fucking break at this point. As great as Heath Ledger was, he was still no Jack Nicholson.
I know. That's my same reaction.
I know a lot of people love Jack Nicholson. Matter of fact, Jack Nicholson was great. I'm not going to discredit him at all on that one.
They were two different Jokers.
Yeah, I think they both brought something to the table none of the audience has never seen from a Joker.
Yeah.
Jack was funny and still had a menacing moment.
Yes.
In his performance, he was just crazy. Who would be your favorite Joker, though?
Oh, fuck. I'm going to go Heath. I really liked him.
Heath was really cool. I appreciate both, to be honest. I know that's kind of a stupid answer, but... I don't know, I kind of appreciate what both did. I think they both did great jobs at their time and stuff like that. Obviously, you know, with Joker from the original Batman, you know, we've never seen any other Joker besides that, besides the one from the TV series.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack Nicholson, that was almost like one of his best roles, up there with The Shining and shit like that. Heath Ledger, that was one of his best performances of bringing something terrifying to the Joker and shit like that. God, that's a hard one. I don't know if I can answer that. I think I'll just go with both. I have one, but, you know. Steve replies to that.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, Heath was... They were both good for different types of Jokers.
Yeah.
But I think... I didn't really root for Jack Nicholson's Joker like I rooted for Heath Ledger's Joker.
You was rooting for Heath Ledger? Ain't that a bitch?
I was.
Wow, you a sick motherfucker.
I was like, blow off those boats, motherfucker.
Yeah, I was rooting for Batman to beat his ass. Okay. Damn, I thought I was crazy. Your ass is crazy.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Alright. Steve, man, he replies that and saying, and I agree with Steve in this one. I think Mark Hamill is definitely a better Joker than both of them. But everyone knows Mark Hamill is the best Joker. He was easily the best and only Joker there should have ever be. Z, since you're not familiar with his work in the animated series, would you agree with my statement, P1? You know what? No, I just thought of one. John DiMaggio, that is my favorite Joker. Everybody knows him, the Joker from Under the Red Hood.
I was going to ask, who was that?
Yeah, Mark Hamill is the one from the animated series and who plays Joker in almost every damn thing.
That's in the games, too, right?
Not for Origins. He didn't play him in Origins, but someone else did that one. But okay. In the games, yeah, he's the games, the animated series, the movies that usually come out now and stuff like that. He's like everyone's go-to Joker and shit like that. He is the Joker, some people say, and I would agree with that completely. I think the reason why he has more of a better tone of a Joker, though, is because he's had more chances to be the Joker than Heath Ledger or Jack Nicholson has. Mm-hmm. But he is a great Joker. I will give him that. I mean, the dude is easily watch any of those old animated series, which I was last week. Dude is just funny. He's menacing. He's terrifying. I was watching when Batman went to Smallville to team up with Superman, and they were trying to fight the Joker and shit like that. Joker threw some marbles down, and Superman was like, "You gotta be fucking kidding me!" And then Batman was just like, he didn't even tell Superman. He just stepped backwards and shit like that. And then like this big explosion just happened, crumbling on Superman. He was just like, Batman just looked at him and said, "Expect the unexpected with him," and then just ran off. I was like, "Damn, Batman, you a dick."
Well, you say yourself, Batman is a complete dick.
Like, you know, most people would tell their teammates, like, "Hey, you know, move out the way. Don't think they just marbles. You know, those are explosives." But he just like took a step back and said, "Superman can take it. Don't worry." I was
like, "Dude, it's okay for him."
Yeah, it's okay for him. Whatever. Shit. I was like, "Damn, dude." But yeah, John DiMaggio, man, that's definitely my favorite Joker. I'm going with that one, man. That Joker was awesome, dude. I love that Joker. Love that Joker. I would kill to see that Joker. And he did a lot of people was worried about him because he wasn't, you know, obviously he wasn't Mark Hamill. And people was like, oh, because they did that with Origins, they did that with Under the Red Hood. It's just like, oh, it ain't Mark Hamill. Oh, it's going to be shit. And everybody said he turned out just fine, if not better than Mark Hamill.
I actually really enjoyed the Joker from Under Red Hood.
It was fucking hilarious, man. You want to use the root? That was a Joker I was rooting for. Then I was like, "This dude is so goddamn charismatic." I was like,
"But I don't think that could really be pulled off in a live action film." It would be tough.
Tough to add in there just because of everything else that's going on.
Well, plus a lot more people would probably see a live action as opposed to the animated. And they'll be like
hard to pull under the Red Hood off live action. I think that's probably the easiest storyline to pull off live action. Even the performances by the characters in there.
Don't tell all that to Zack Snyder.
Oh, okay. Except for Zack Snyder does it. I mean,
I'm worried that if he's going to add a Joker soon, and what? Because we've seen his shit and it's not good.
Yeah, I'm not. Man, well. The next person that's getting a hold of the Joker is
Death Squad, right?
What?
It's Death Squad, right?
Death Squad, what?
Or what's it called?
Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, Suicide Squad with David Ayer, who's we all know to be a capable director. So we don't know who his writers are going to be, but or who's going to be playing the Joker. But David Ayer is a great director. So
rumor had it that was Leto.
It was Leto and Jake Gyllenhaal.
I didn't hear. Ooh, after Nightcrawler, fuck yeah! Yeah, sign me up.
Well, you know the funny thing was, people were saying when Heath Ledger died before Dark Knight Rises came out, they were saying that Jake Gyllenhaal looked like Heath Ledger. I was like, I don't see it, but then someone photoshopped some photos, and I was like, okay, kind of does a little bit, but
a little bit.
I can see it, but yeah, I'm with you. I have to see a Nightcrawler. Yeah, I think Jake Gyllenhaal would be perfect for that role.
And I guess Harley Quinn's gonna be in it?
Yeah, played by Margot Robbie from Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay.
Only person I have a problem with in casting so far is fucking Jai Courtney is playing,
Wait. Yeah. The fucking son from Die Hard?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
he's playing Deadshot, yeah. Deadshot is a badass character who has some badass fight scenes with Batman, man. They even put him in Arkham Origins and shit, like the game or whatever. He was a badass character. When I heard that, I was like, man, fuck this movie. That dude sucks the soul out of fucking film. There's not one. John Corden, man.
He's a Garrett Hedlund.
Yeah, he is. He's like all of them. Taylor Kitsch, Hayden Christensen, he's all of them, whatever. It's like, I don't know how this guy keeps getting work. Big projects, too. Big projects.
Oh, my God, I'm hoping
that just stays a rumor and doesn't go out the air, because that would be horrible casting right there. Alex says, man, what would you guys want to see in the next saga of Batman? Which, I think that got pushed back now, because remember they said that Batman series with Ben Affleck was going to be in 2019, but nah, that got replaced with Green Lantern, so...
What? Shit.
I would like to see Nightwing. Shit. The fuck am I going to see Nightwing in one of these goddamn Batman... How many fucking Batman films we saw and not Nightwing, not in one of them yet?
I want to see... Batgirl. We haven't seen a Batgirl yet. I'm joking.
I don't know if they'll go either one, but I wouldn't mind seeing either. I mean, well, you actually, you have seen Batgirl, remember?
I was joking.
Yeah, you seen, what was her name? It's Uncle Alfred's daughter. Uncle Alfred.
Uncle Alfred's daughter.
Yeah, Uncle Alfred's daughter. Where the fuck you supposed to be with him? His nurse. Yeah, there you go. Uncle Alfred's nurse. There you go. Oh man, but yeah, I want to see Nightwing. That was one of the reasons why I loved Under the Red Hood so much, is because they had every aspect of Batman in there. It was everything in there, so. Patrick Harris has a great voice in them, too, by the way.
What about. I'm trying to think of other villains.
I'd love to see Black Mask in them after seeing Under the Red Hood.
Yeah, okay.
Like, that could easily be a setup for, like, a Batman film, since he's, like, a lower crime boss and shit like that. It can just open up with him capturing Black Mask and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to the main villain or something like that. Kind of like they did with Scarecrow and Dark Knight.
Yeah, okay. That could work.
Yeah, just to throw him in there or something like that or whatever, because after seeing Under the Red Hood, man, I was like, this dude got to get in live action somehow, because that was awesome, dude, man. That dude was awesome, man. Black Bat. Like, when that dude... Batman got all my damn money! That one dude just coughed in the background. He had that look in his eyes, and he just started punching them dudes and shit. Damn, that dude sure can run fast.
We've had... What about a really good, like, Mr. Freeze...
I never really cared too much about Mr. Freeze's character, but I think Mr. Freeze, yeah, he has some justice to his character. He's kind of almost like an anti-hero himself, whatever and shit. I mean, we all know his reason why he does what he does, but I guess it kind of just, kind of like Two-Face, it kind of just took over his mind of being a criminal.
Who, Clayface or Mad Hatter?
I wouldn't want to say, I hate Mad Hatter personally. Hate Mad Hatter. Clayface, nah, I wouldn't want to see that. Last time I saw Clayface was in The Batman, and that animated series was fucking horrible.
Oh, Hugo.
Hugo Weaving. I mean, Hugo Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that. I mean, we got our Ra's al Ghul out the way, so yeah, throw me some Hugo Strange down. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Yeah, because he was in Arkham Origins, right?
Yeah. Arkham City.
City.
Yeah, he was in Arkham City, not Origins. So yeah, and he was great in that as well. I mean, Hugo Strange can easily be a guy in the background, like a Lex Luthor. He doesn't really even necessarily have to be the main villain or anything like that. He can just be right in the background, doing what he does. Still under Batman's radar though, because he's not like a out there villain like Joker and him and shit like that.
Yeah, I mean. I loved. They gotta get the writers from the Batman games to write a movie.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much playing that game's watching a movie.
Shit, you look it up on YouTube and watch the cinematic part, hell yeah, it is.
It's, oh god, it was so good.
I love what they did in Origins, with Joker and Alfred and shit like that. Just like side characters on the side and shit like that. All of that was just great, man. Those games are damn near like perfection of Batman, you know?
But what I want to see, we already have Affleck as Batman.
And what do you want to see, Z, that you have not seen in a live-action Batman film?
Detective work.
Which, by the way, you do a lot of that in those games, that's for sure.
You do.
You do a lot of detective work in those games, especially with the Riddler's missions and shit. That is nothing but detective work.
The closest thing we got was Dark Knight.
Yeah, Dark Knight. The best part of his detective work is when he was comparing the bullets and the fingerprints and shit. I was like, this shit is cool right here. This is interesting right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that none of the films really go more into that, like how to capture somebody and shit like that.
There's so much stuff. I mean, Batman's been 75 years. We've 75 years of comics.
They're going over his parents' death again in this new film.
God damn it, why?
Well, we're sick of that shit. We've seen it for how many fucking movies now? Okay.
Well, three. Guaranteed three movies.
Man, Batman's one of the most popular fucking characters. We know his fucking origin of his parents dying. And by the way, he's older Bruce Wayne. So why do we even need to see that?
Get over it, you fucking bitch.
Jesus Christ, man. I'm sick of fucking seeing that origin now. You can't show... And even Gotham just showed it, so... Which rightfully so, because it is a prequel, so they should show it, but God, there's no reason to show that death no more. We get it.
I swear to God, if the new fucking Batman-Superman movie, if Superman has visions of his dad dying in a tornado, I'm gonna get pissed.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I didn't even think about that. Okay. Damn. Oh, man, if he sees a tornado and just starts thinking about his father, like, huh.
then he throws the dog in the tornado. This is for my father.
You know what would be funny in Batman vs. Superman is if someone gets trapped in a tornado and he saves them and go like, huh, I guess I could have saved my dad now, you know? Like, I'd be like, oh, Jesus.
That movie would be a see it.
I see it.
We've seen a lot. We've seen... 7 Batman movies.
Jesus. Not to mention all the animated movies I've seen and anime series.
So there's what? Games. I would say the games, you say about maybe what? About 20 total?
It's shit, it's probably more than that, dude.
Really?
There's a lot of Batman shit out there, man.
And we've seen pretty much every character, right?
Yeah. Under the Red Hood anime series gave me Nightwing, so.
So I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, it's kind of. Hard. Like, I've seen the live action. I've seen a few of the animated. I just don't know. I really don't. It's kind of hard to say. Because
the next saga of Batman, I would really love to see a Nightwing live action.
I just want to see a good. I don't want the one to go back to these Batmans.
No, I don't either. I want to see something that makes me. I don't want to see a Nolan Batman because it looked like that's where they it kind of looked like it's just falling in the same territory of that and shit like that. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see something completely new. I know exactly what I would love to see in a Batman though. That is Terry McGinnis Batman Beyond
from the animated.
Yeah, from the future Batman where Batman's too old to do this anymore and he hands it down to a. Younger protege of his and shit like that. Like, everything about that world is beautiful. The costume is even sick as fuck. I mean, everything about it is just badass. I know the reason why Christopher Nolan didn't call Joseph Gordon-Levitt Terry McGinnis and shit like, even though he looks like Terry McGinnis, I know why they won't make a live-action Batman Beyond or whatever shit. It's just because nobody knows about that property. Because that cartoon, that animated series was barely on and they didn't even know what to do with it, but... I think people would get it just because it has Batman attached to it. That was a badass fucking series, and I would kill for that, man. That's definitely something I would want to see. That's what I want to see. I want to see fucking Batman Beyond.
Okay. We gotta wait. Really? When's it? 2019?
Yeah, supposedly, but that it just got. I don't think it's coming out there no more. So.
Okay.
I'll send you a link of one of the Batman Beyond costumes and shit like that. I love that fucking costume, man. It looks sick as fuck.
Is this the Batman costume?
Batman Beyond costume.
Okay. Holy crap.
Yeah, looks sick as fuck.
Dude, that's so dark.
Yeah, just got that red inflated in there. I know in the Batman Arkham City, you could get a skin to get the costume and shit like that, but...
Is his eyes, like... Is there, like, a gap between his eyes, or he has, like, a thing over his eyes?
What do you mean?
Like, if you, like, you can see his eyes, or is there, because it's just lights. I can't tell. It's just bright white.
No, it's just really, he has, like, the old school Batman eyes. It's just, like, old, they're bright and white.
Okay, okay.
All you can see, really, is his light, but he has, like, camouflage and shit on that suit and everything.
Dude, that's a fucking awesome suit.
Here's a better version of the suit. It's got, like, all the suits and shit like that from a lot of the Batmans over the years or whatever. But I love this,
This is Batman Beyond?
Yeah, Batman Beyond. It was, after the animated series, they decided to create a character, that was, like, in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Oh, those are cool.
Like, Bruce Wayne was, like, fucking 90 years old or something like that, so he wouldn't die.
The one on the far, on the second to the right, that just looks like something from The Incredibles.
That's old Batman. That's the one they're basing this new one off of. That is the one from, like, The Dark Knight Rises and shit like that, from the graphic novel and shit like that. That is when he's, like, the older one. The bat symbol on him, his chest is bigger than usual or whatever. He's like, in his, like, 60s and shit. So, yeah, that one is based definitely off of that one.
What's
so,
a fat Batman?
Oh, that motherfucker got bigger as he got older. Like, and I'm talking about, like, tall. He was, like, humongous. I was like, goddamn, they called him, like, a goddamn giant or something like that.
Oh, shit. Fucking
love the Batman Beyond costume. Love that costume.
The one on the Batman Beyond costume looks like a snake eye, just with ears. No cowl? It doesn't look like a cowl?
Yeah, because he can fly. He has wings and shit. He can glide and shit like that.
Oh, that's fucking awesome. That one's fucking sweet.
Yeah, highly recommend. I think the show is on Netflix or whatever, people. If you gotta check that out. Oh, but, I think they actually have it on there?
Seasons,
whatever. He had this cool villain in there called Ink. And she was a badass villain or whatever. I really love that series or whatever. And I really wish they would do something live action. I thought Nolan opened it up, though, perfectly with Joseph Gordon-Levitt coming in and saying his name. I was, like, just praying. He said, Terry McGinnis. Just say fucking Terry McGinnis. Please say your name is Terry McGinnis. So, like, Nolan can give Warner Brothers a hint, like, it's time to move away from this Batman and do something different with him. And there's nothing you can do different with Batman than other than Batman Beyond.
Hmm. But those are pretty cool pictures. I mean, just how they create, like, the new suits. It's very hard to see get a suit that nobody's seen, but that is a suit I've never seen before.
Yeah, Batman Beyond. Who was the first person that questioned on here? Norris. He said he was tired of Batman. I agree completely with him. And the only thing I can think that can get you back into it if they have to keep making new ones, Batman Beyond. Something new. You haven't seen it yet. You know nothing of the character at all. I think that's a perfect way of reintroducing Batman and just getting over the old ones.
It's a good point, yeah.
But I don't think the studios will ever take a chance with that just because it's an unknown character.
Yeah. And I don't know why Norris says he's burned down. I'm not really burned down on Batman. I mean, it's not like we see him every year.
Shit, I'll damn near him.
Yeah, it's about, what, 2-3 year gap?
I do. I see him every year because that motherfucker has animated films out and shit, too.
Well, you like those, though.
Yeah, well, not anymore. Shit, DC's horrible now.
But
I'm burned out on Batman. I'm tired of him.
I'm really burned out on Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'm more burned out on Batman than I am Spider-Man. Spider-Man, just that last one just sucked or whatever. Batman, he needs to go away for a while. I'm sick of hearing about Batman. There's no reason why Batman should even be with Superman in his next movie and shit like that. The only reason why they did that is because Warner Brothers said, let's stick Batman in here so we can make more money. And now we're just going to go along with it. I'm just like, okay, I'm so sick of all these adaptations of Batman and shit.
Marvel probably
just,
thinking the same thing.
It's never a consistent trend of Batman. There's always some new shit with him. I'm just like, man, they toss this character around like water.
At least freaking Nolan, at least he kept the same stuff for Batman for three movies.
Well, two movies, but...
Two movies, yeah, it's true.
I don't count that third one. Jessica, last question I got here. She said, do you guys think Batman can get any worse than this?
Yes.
Yes, it can.
Look at the director attached to the next one.
Yeah.
People don't probably think this. Snyder is gonna have a big influence on Batman.
Yeah, he's Warner Brothers' consultant on these films, so yeah.
So I mean,
how is he the consultant? I don't get that part.
Whedon, I understand because he's a comic book nerd.
Yeah, and plus he whelmed the Avengers. Of course he needs to be the consultant of Marvel's things because he's the one making the films come together as one with the Avengers and shit.
And I'm sure he wasn't before, but he is now the consultant, and he's pretty much has a not a major say, but he put some notes down for every movie. So, but yeah. Snyder, we've seen his shit. His shit sucks.
Yeah, we reviewed Dawn of the Dead not too long ago, and I was just like, wow, this movie wasn't as great as I thought it was, used to be, or whatever. I was like, damn. I can see all of Snyder's, his habits of directing, too, in this film as well. I was just like,
Women are stupid.
Oh, my God, man. Because you know he's introducing Wonder Woman in that film, too. I'm just like, okay, yeah, I don't I don't know why people start like, well, I'm excited to see Wonder Woman. It's like, you know, Snyder is the one directing that one, right? Yeah, I mean, come on now.
She's probably gonna be a moron.
She'll be a whore.
Yeah.
She's gonna be a moron, you're right. She's gonna be a moron, a whore. I have no faith in Snyder with women. All of his films with women, they're all horrible.
Is that how he treats them in real life?
I don't know. His wife approves of that shit, though. That's the thing. His wife greenlights them and shit. Like, I'm just like, she ain't no better than he is. She's the only one that defended Sucker Punch.
Okay.
She backed him up on that and said, we made some powerful characters with these women. I was just like, okay, if she's the one, but okay. Now I know where he's getting his influences from. It's from his stupid wife, yeah.
Whoa.
She's big difference now, huh?
She's a moron.
Yeah, it's a big, very big difference when you find that out. Even in Watchmen. Okay movie, but I hated Silk Spectre in that film.
I just don't like the movie. I liked Rorschach, but...
Yeah, Rorschach was awesome. After that, I mean, he was the best thing of the movie. Let's go ahead
and... Well, and plus I liked the comedian, too, but he wasn't in it that long.
Yeah, like two scenes, maybe. The rest were just flashbacks.
Yeah, but I didn't like seeing Dr. Manhattan's junk, and...
I didn't like seeing that sex scene playing the Hallelujah.
That was random.
Weird as fuck, dude. That was random and weird as fuck. Hallelujah. Yeah, I was like, okay.
you don't put that song to sex because it really turns you away.
We just got done talking about a movie where the music fit. Yeah, music in that film didn't fit at all.
What's the one song to turn people to make this not a sexy scene? Hallelujah. There you go.
Hallelujah. Yeah. I think Snyder's is horrible with music choices. I mean, we saw that with Man of Steel. The sound, the score of it was good.
Because it was Zimmer.
He played that shit for an hour of that last film, and it made me just tired of it. I was just like, I don't give a damn if people defend that song or not or whatever. It is annoying.
Wasn't it like you say an hour? You're mean it's a straight hour. There's part, especially the last fucking hour of the 7-hour movie, it feels like.
Yeah.
It's constantly music plays the entire time.
Yeah, and I swear to God, it was that same song. It's the same fucking song.
It just recycled itself.
It just recycled the same fucking thing. I was just like, okay. And before the movie even came out, I remember saying, I like this song, it's cool, whatever. And then I saw the movie, I was just like, I'm fucking sick of that song now. I'm fucking sick. Because when they meet at that IHOP and he's fighting Ursula and all them and shit like that, the aliens and shit, they play that song the whole fight scene. I was just like, okay, you can tone that song back now. He's getting his ass kicked. This music doesn't fit. And then when he was fighting Dr. Octopus in the middle of nowhere, they played that song again and shit. I was just like, okay.
You know what? Maybe Schneider doesn't have a say in editing. Maybe he just directs the movie and goes, you know what? I'm done.
It dries up.
I'm done. I did my contract, so.
Yeah, fuck it. I'm done. Okay.
Wash his hands of it, you fucking moron.
Yeah, you can have it.
That's why no one wanted to get away from him as fast as possible. He goes, he saw him, he goes, oh my god, I'm out of here.
You had to get away from him and Goyer, yeah, of course.
No one probably fake his own death to get out of that way.
He pulled a Bruce Wayne from Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. That's why I made Interstellar. Man,
yeah, I agree with completely with Z on this. Don't ever say it can't get worse, because I have a feeling we're going to get this serious tone, but goofy as fuck, kind of like with Superman from Man of Steel. That's the feeling. That's the vibe I'm getting.
And probably a shoehorned relationship.
Yeah, that could come too. Snyder he doesn't make comedies or anything like that. He makes things serious, and then they look ridiculous as fuck. I don't know. The only reason why I don't have faith in them, because everybody's like, oh, this Batman Superman movie's gonna be good. Don't worry, it's gonna be good. It's like, you do realize Man of Steel was directed by the same person, or whatever, and he said he's doing it the same way he shot that film. So I'm just like,
you know what?
That ain't a positive.
I'm gonna say this right here: why Batman Superman will not be good.
Oh, okay.
Two words: Aquaman.
Aquaman.
The worst superhero in the world, next to Arrow. Next to Green Arrow.
He's like, Elastoman is better than him. Rubber Man is better than him. Man, he can just stretch out. Mr. Fantastic.
Aquaman controls fish.
I can talk to the fish. Watch this. He's good for dates. Yeah, you know, go out to the pier, walk on the beach, you know, have a dolphin comes up, you know, be like, oh, that's so cute, he's good for that shit, yeah. he's the perfect man to date, yes, for women, yes. As far as fighting villains, I don't know about that now.
Yeah, you're screwed. If you're not by a fish tank, if you're in the desert, you're done. He might bring you some water, but he's not going to save you.
I love this. You know, they used to do a funny skit with him, like, seeing in the water, just watching a bank get robbed, and then, like, the bank teller's, like, screaming, help, and he's just like, well, throw the villain out to the water, like, stop him.
I think Family Guy did something like that.
Oh, yeah, they did, oh, yeah, right, they did, where the chick was about to get raped on the beach and shit, and she's like, help, and he's just like, I think he threw a fish at somebody and was just like, yeah, you take that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we got.
Most useless villain ever.
Next to the Arrow.
Oh, man, Arrow. People, though, that has been another edition of Throwback Tuesday. Gotta get out of here, man. It's past due, whatever, though. It has been episode 76, man. That was a good show.
76th anniversary. Tron.
Tron, that's right, yeah. Maybe the, hey, you never know. Might count the days up right now. It might be the 50th.
It took... Watch this movie felt like 76 years.
It was 76 years. That's why Jeff Bridges looked older. Hey, but I'm the phenomenal one.
I'm Z.
And we'll catch you people next week on another edition of Throwback Tuesday. Later, bastards.
See ya.